A philosopher and a mathematician know absolute power. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, bringing you the absolute philosopher. An absolute philosopher and a mathematician know absolute power. Isn't that interesting? An absolute philosopher and a mathematician know absolute power. A philosopher. How does that work? Well, science shows us time and time again that mathematics is the foundation of the universe. Mathematics is the foundation of music. Mathematics is the foundation of everything. Because everything has a relationship to it. Now, as far as the physical universe goes, that's what it is. And we are talking always about the physical universe. If I were to really get involved in talking about absolute philosopher, talking about absolute, it would be a very uninteresting concept for you. However, if you would travel with me into absolute awareness, you might find it very charming, very delightful, very, very valuable, and very interesting. But at the moment, if I say to you that all time is now and everything is and is, you say, well, bully, you know, big deal. That doesn't make much sense. And it doesn't make much sense. And it won't make it much sense. But once you are there, once you have arrived at that level of awareness, then it makes a lot of sense. But still, it doesn't make any sense, you know. So, right now we're considering the idea that a philosopher and a mathematician know absolute power. How does a philosopher know absolute power? The mathematician knows absolute power because this is the power that drives the universe, mathematics. This is the power that drives music. This is the power that drives thought. This is the power that drives all human interrelationships, whatever they may be. Now, just for a moment, you are driving along the street and you come to a stop sign. You've all had this experience. And you're sitting there waiting for the light to change and you turn over, you turn to the side and you look out your window, and in the car next to you, the person is sitting there and they're looking straight ahead, and then they turn their head to look directly at you because they are drawn to you because you have become one with them with your vibrations. You know, you didn't do anything mean. You didn't do anything with any purpose other than just who you are. But that's what it is. Now, when a beautiful soprano or mostly soprano singer sings and she hits a pure note, oftentimes glasses break. Now, why do glasses break?
Vibration.
Because they are in vibration with that vibratory sound that she is making. It is a oneness. Now, you say, if it's a oneness, why would it break? Well, because it was encapsulated. It was encapsulated in that glass. You can take your finger and run it around a glass and make it ring, you know. And you can do all sorts of interesting things with glasses and with water and with tinkling of them and saying, you know, different sounds that you hit different glasses. Now, those glasses and cups are the same. And you could tell the difference right away. But sound is vibration, and it is vibration moving at a certain speed, and that certain speed is recordable and knowable, and it is known. Now, do scientists know the speed of light? Do scientists say there are things traveling through the inner space as well as outer space that are going beyond the speed of light? Are they saying that you can take a person or they can take a clock and put it in an airplane and fly it backwards, so to speak, around the Earth. The Earth is rotating this way, and you fly the opposite way. And if you will fly it enough times, one time is enough, but if you'll fly it enough times, you will have time going backwards. And if you do it really enough times, you will have maybe even a day or a week or a year change into another year, because you are vibrating back in time. You say, well, that seems outrageous. It seems beyond our consideration and our possibility. But the philosopher does that all the time. The philosopher is thinking a thought. Now, get this straight. Every person, every one who thinks, whatever they may be, is a philosopher. Now, the philosopher is thinking about his mother, who is long dead. And his mother said to him, "Son, before you go to bed each night, say your prayers. There is no God outside of yourself for you, but say your prayers to the God inside of yourself." Well, the boy had been so inculcated, so trained to think God was outside of himself, that he always prayed to God outside of himself. He put his hands together, "Oh God, outside of me," you know, and he prayed that way. So here he is now, a great philosopher, a philosopher who is a professor in a university and very competent, very capable. And the thought, bonk, zipped into his mind of what his mother said. And for that instant, he was back in time and space to the day that his mother had told him that, which might have been 50, might have been 80 years before. Now, 80 years back, we say, interesting. Well, let's look at the caves and see what the cavemen painted on the cave walls and ceilings. And we look at that, and then we visualize it in the light that the cavemen painted it, with people holding torches around and looking up and seeing this at the cavemen. And you are back in time in those thousands of years to where the cavemen were. Strange, but real, very real. And you have a deja vu. When you have deja vu, you have the feeling that you've been there before, and you've experienced that before. And what is that? It's merely you're flipping back and forth in your dimensional time and space. We do that all the time, far more often than we realize. Now, the mathematician, he does this all the time. The mathematician uses math, he uses figures, he uses things, and then someone will say to him, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 4 is 8, 2 times 8 is 16, and then right away he's back to where? He's back to The Sound of Music. He's back to Julie as she's teaching her children how to think about mathematics and how to think about music. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And the music is eternal. The mathematics are eternal. And, of course, the thinker is eternal, too. But think about that. A philosopher and a mathematician know absolute power. They know that these things are and always will be. You know these things are and always will be. But you are not taking advantage of it, because you like to think that there is the unknown and the unknowable. It's a nice solution to the fact that you haven't opened your heart and your mind to listen within to find out who you are. We teach you. See, you're not being tested, you're being fortified. And Ellen, what happens when you have this deja vu, or when you have this feeling that you know the answer?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You are revealing to yourself what you already know. Mm-hmm. You have a revelation. You have a revelation. And this revelation happens to everybody. So everybody has the experience a philosopher and a mathematician have of concerning themselves with absolute power. It's really quite exciting and quite imaginative if you really get into it. Now, I've given you just the surface, which I've given you many times before, just the surface. And it gives you something now to dig with. I often watch Rex. He's, 18 weeks old now. And as I watch him, he stops at every little hole in the ground and gets his nose down there and wants to start digging. And he will dig a dig or two, and then not interesting. And then he's on to the next one. But sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes there's somebody home down there, and he wants to dig for home. Well, now, what is it that tells him there's somebody home down there? Does his ear pick up the sound of their scampering down there? Does his nose pick up the smell of their smelllessness? Because many animals that live underground and in the ground are smellless, like a snake. It has no odor, you know that. And how does a person know that a snake is there? It has no odor. It can really, it's got weapons that are amazing. But how does a dog know that the snake is there? It's tuned in to its highest good. And when the vibrations of the snake are saying, hey, you're getting a little close to me, I feel a little insecure, move away. If you don't move away, I'm going to encourage you to move away, you know? And so the dog tunes into that. Now, sometimes the dog is naive, like puppies oftentimes are. And they'll say, oh, but I want to meet you. I want to say hello to you. I want to say, hi, snake, how are you? And the snake says, don't tread on me. And oftentimes the puppy dog does, and then the snake bites him. But it's amazing how they survive these things. Now, why wouldn't a dog understand those vibrations? Because you are teaching your dog love. You're teaching your dog the vibrations of love, the vibrations of harmony and peace and oneness. And not only the snake, there are some other dogs like Love here in the beginning. Rawr! He would go to Rex because Rex was getting too friendly. And Rex thought, hey, I'm just being friendly. And he pursued being friendly, even while little Love was saying, enough already, you know. And then Love finally caught on that this big, stupid puppy is just pure love and doesn't mean any harm, although he's a little heavy sometimes. And he says, let's play. You see? And Love tuned into his vibrations. And in tuning into his vibrations, he realized there wasn't any anger in him. There wasn't any hurt in him. There wasn't any ugliness in him. There was only goodness. So you and I, we can tune into our universe. And we can tune into a universe that has rattlesnakes that say, get out of my way. That has puppy dogs that are too big for their own good sometimes, you know, and they put their paw on you and knock you down. Or you can be master of your universe through your mind, your philosophy, through your vibrations, through your musical keynote, through your mathematical understanding. And you can say, I am the
pure white light of love, and I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances.
I am the pure white light of love. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. And you see, that way you put yourself in harmony with whatever it is that you're experiencing and whatever is going on in your world. And it's wonderful. It's really exciting. Now, that's how mathematics and a philosopher are harmoniously in tune with one another. That's how a mathematician can really get into the depth of the spiritual reality that he is. So you see, a painter is a mathematician. A musician is a mathematician, and a philosopher is a mathematician. All the world is filled with beautiful mathematicians, some using their math in one way or another. You say, well, nowadays with these computers and computometers and so on, people don't really work with math. They sure do. They sure do. They just work with it at a higher level of speed. They sure do work with it. Think on these things, because they're beautiful and they're wonderful. And because you are who you are divine, you know all things and you know all the answers. A philosopher and a magician, a philosopher and a mathematician know absolute power. And you can be sure of that. Have a lovely evening and never stop being a fabulous philosopher. I love you. I love you. I love you.